I thought maybe I'd tell you a little bit about the conference we had this weekend, because I thought it was really very well done. It was fascinating how all the various speakers came together. Constance Cumby was here, and she was talking about her experience getting into the New Age and how she, in the early 1980s, just stumbled across this movement, a vast movement that extends into every aspect of our life, with literally millions of people interlocked into something known as the Aquarian Conspiracy or the New Age Movement. And there was a book at that time written by Marilyn Ferguson called The Aquarian Conspiracy, where she talked about how this vast network, an open conspiracy, existed in America, and its purpose was to change our society forever. And then, of course, as Constance began to read about this and study about this, she began to realize that there were many of the people who were involved in this organization at the upper echelons who actually worshipped Lucifer. They realized that he was the Antichrist. They realized that he was an evil spirit, and they worshipped him because he gave them freedom. After all, if you worship God, the God of the heavens, the God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, why, there are a lot of restrictions on what you can do. If you worship Lucifer, you have absolute freedom, and that adage, do what thou wilt, becomes the whole of your law, and there is nothing that guides you or limits what you can do. So the amazing thing to Constance here in the early 1980s was the realization that there is this vast network, and of course it includes many of the writers, the New Age writers, and they'd written this all out. She even talked to some of the people in the New Age, and initially thinking she was actually one of them, many of them actually embraced the things that and admitted openly. They thought that Lucifer had gotten a bad deal as far as God was concerned, and that, of course, things were going to be better once he was in complete and total control of the world. Now, if this sounds totally absurd to you, I would initially... found that very difficult to believe in the mid-1980s when I read Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. But it's amazing, as she told the story about all the things that were done, even by many people in key positions within the Christian faith, to prevent the information from getting out, and ultimately in an effort to neutralize and actually destroy her efforts. She spent 7 years traveling across America, trying to teach people about the New Age movement, utilizing their information and their documents and their book. But you see, most people don't want to hear bad news. And unfortunately, she was attacked viciously by some people in the church. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now our regularly scheduled guest is not here, so we're going to go right ahead, and if you'd like to give us a call, I'll have to glance over here at the board, and I'll be glad to take your calls. I'll pick them up. You may have to call. Hang on just for a moment or two. But anyway, under any circumstances, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you'd like to give us a call. But I was talking about what Constance Cumby was telling us this weekend, as she went into the background of her effort to awaken people about the hidden dangers of the rainbow. And then she wrote a second book where, of course, she talked about the involvement of some of the key leaders of the Christian religion here in America. And I'm talking now about the Protestant leaders who were obviously associated with the New Age and were covering up for it very effectively through their ministries and doing everything they could to undermine her. And we'd certainly suggest to you that, well, we've got somebody calling in. Who do we have calling in?
Yes, sir. It's Jonathan Rayburn.
All right, fine, Jonathan. What did you have a question or comment?
Man, I have a question. I get most of the broadcast. Well, I have been getting most of the broadcast a week late. Now I finally figured out on my computer how to listen. Listen online. You know, I'm listening to Doc Stan right now. Live. And I was wanting to ask my question about Catherine Albright and the spy chip deal, and I'm wondering if there's any way that you can detect these things.
Oh, well, no. Check what are you speaking of specifically?
Oh, you know, like to check for if say, well, if there is any checking method for if you have these items, these chips in your clothes?
Oh, well, there are ways to do it, but you need a special sort of meter to actually check that. And apparently, they have found a few of them. They are not being widely used at the present time because of the opposition. When people found out that Walmart was planning to use these and other of the major chains, they sort of backed away from this. So we really don't know how many of them are out there. Catherine and Liz McIntyre and a few other people who are working with them are pretty much on top of that. But unless you had, you know, a very sophisticated meter, you wouldn't be able to know. I think this is something coming down the line. The other thing is, of course, the shipping of animals, and that is, of course, one of the most important things. And, of course, there is a law in place that by the 2008, January of 2008, you're going to have every little chicken and every goose and any farm animal is going to have to be shipped. And you're going to have to, of course, report that immediately to the federal government. When that animal is killed, hold this a moment. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening did not show up, so we've got a gentleman who just called and was asking about the RFID chips that we've talked about with Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre, and he was asking if there's any way to check and see if you have them on you, and the only way you'd know would be to have an expensive meter that could read them. And as I said, I don't think that they are on in most of the clothing or things of that sort at the present time. They had planned to put them onto certain of the tires. Michelin Tires was planning on using them, and Walmart was planning on using them, but there was so much opposition that they sort of backed away from it. But right now, of course, one of the major things is they are going to insist that all farm animals be chipped. Now, as you know, they are already chipping dogs and cats, and veterinarians are advocating this, and an awful lot of animals, privately owned animals, are being chipped. Because isn't it such a very convenient method of, in case they get lost, why, you'll be able to get them back again. But, of course, in fact, as I had commented on one of the programs, there was a story that came out just the previous week about this little doggie, and he'd suddenly disappeared, and the family was just so upset. And suddenly he's found, I don't know, hundreds of miles away, wandering around. He's actually picked up. They scan him. They find out who his owner is, and that the company that manufactures the chips was just nice enough to fly him back or have him take him back to the family,
right,
so they'd be reunited. And I read that. I wondered who kidnapped that little dog and took them all the way away to get this story out here to convince people it's a convenient thing to do. Now, maybe I'm just being a little paranoid.
I don't believe you're paranoid at all. Dr. Stan, I'm also wondering, I just realized that I'm talking with you, I'm sorry. I thought there was going to be like, a screening method, but say if you were to take like a strong magnet, can you destroy these things? I'm just wondering. No.
I really can't tell you. I don't know that much about them. Hey, you hang on here for just a minute, will you? I'll be back in just a moment. We've got somebody on another line here. Hi, who do we have?
Hi, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray. Would you hang on here? I'm talking to somebody else, and you hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, fine. So let's go back to our first caller. Go ahead.
Dr. Stan, I just want to applaud you, sir. Thank you for what you do. I've just recently run across the entire scope of the Christian voice out there, and it's really kind of blown me away.
The story really is incredible, but I think even more really incredible is this story that they're actually going to require farmers by law as of 2008, that's a little over a year from now, to have every one of their animals, even the little chickies, and how could you afford to take every chicken you have down to the veterinarian? If he comes out, it's going to cost you a fortune. If you take him down, it's going to be terribly inconvenient, especially if every chicken is born at a different time.
Yes.
Talk about incredible, and yet this is exactly what's happening.
Okay. Also, you were talking about, they're going to check for grain storage and stuff like that with the interview with Catherine Albright.
Yep.
And
that's a very important interview. Let me suggest that you maybe even want to get that interview, or certainly if you've got it there, you can,
go ahead and copy it and
get it to other people. People need to hear that story. That even scared me.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's ridiculous what's going on, man. And, you know, what can I say? I'm trying to get back right with the Lord, because that's the only way we're going to make it, man.
That's right. And if I can't accomplish anything else, if I can get people to get back in a good relationship with the Lord, this is what it's about.
Yeah, the awareness that, look, everything in that Bible is being played out today. And that's what amazed me so much, is that, you know, I've been in the Bible for years and years, and now, I mean, it's just like, it's coming down. It's coming down. It's happening right now.
It is. Anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. And I certainly agree that and understand why our caller is concerned. If you study the Scriptures and then you begin seeing these things unfolding, remember, so much of the Bible is prophetic. And you're seeing these things that are happening. The current war in the Middle East just doesn't make any sense. What in heaven's name are we doing over there? Why are we threatening Iran? And why are the leaders of Iran threatening the United States? In fact, this last week I was reading where President Ahmadinejad of Iran was threatening to make reprisals and retaliation on European countries if they did not, agree to stop supporting Israel and begin supporting the Palestinians. And that really doesn't make any sense. But if you understand that a lot of things don't make sense from an earthly point of view, but certainly from a spiritual point of view, they do make sense. Right now, we're going to have to run. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, we just got our guest on. Did you have a quick question? Ray? I guess we lost Ray, so let's go to Dr. Igor Shafid. Hi, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. I understand you're going to be here speaking on Friday night?
This Friday?
Well, what is it? Is this Friday or next Friday?
Yes, exactly. This Friday I'm speaking at the Fire Chief Association in Santa Cruz County. So I have a four-hour presentation on weapons of mass destruction, facing the facts. And I also understand have a presentation in the evening Friday on probably same subject, or international black market for Republican Assembly.
The California Republican Assembly, yes. In fact, that's being put on my good friend Joan Paris. Do you know where you're going to be speaking, where the place the talk is going to be?
Yes, I'll be speaking at Santa Cruz Police Department Community Room. It's 155 Center Street, Santa Cruz.
155 Center Street. What time that will be?
It's be between 1 and 5 p.m.
Oh, I'm talking now about the evening program.
Oh, the evening program, I understand, be... I don't have this information with me. I know it's at a restaurant.
All right,
a banquet.
I think it's going to be with the old Pastor Tiempo Inn, but we'll have more information on that. Perhaps Joan Paris will be listening in and give us a call. But anyway, the afternoon program, is that afternoon program open to the public?
Yes, absolutely.
And who's sponsoring that one?
Afternoon program sponsored by Fire Chiefs Association of Santa Cruz County.
I'm sorry, the Fire Chief Association?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, now that's at 155 Center Street this coming Friday, and if you're interested in going, it starts about 1 o'clock?
Yes, it starts 1 till 5 o'clock.
All right, for our listeners out there, Dr. Shafid, of course, was trained in the Soviet Union in the techniques of how you had handled problems of biological or chemical or radiological warfare. And certainly, obviously, our fire chiefs then must be concerned about this. It's a very, very definite possibility. Is that correct?
Yes. It's always the issue, especially these days when the world is seriously in a very shaky position right now with Iran and Korea. So a lot of attention going on issues with weapons of mass destruction and protection of the borders, and especially California, they have a high interest in the subject as well.
Well, I think that everybody should have high interest in this. As I was just saying before you came on, what's going on today really doesn't make sense. I mean, the war in the Middle East doesn't make sense. I mean, how could you possibly have botched the situation up as badly as we have? I mean, how could you have taken Afghanistan, which had very few drugs being grown in it, and America comes in, you know, to free the people up and get rid of the wicked Taliban, and now, of course, they've increased dramatically their drug production. We know where the drugs are being grown. We're not doing anything about it. It doesn't make any sense. But then so little of what's going on makes any sense, and now the very real possibility of a war with Iran, which will inflame the entire Muslim world against the United States. Why would our leaders take a chance on that happening, and why would the leaders of Iran be doing everything they can to promote this sort of thing? You would think they would be conciliatory, they'd make any concessions necessary, and they're not doing it, and I share your concern. Tell me, Dr. Shafid, how do you feel about it? Do you feel that we are entering into a time of very real threat to the American people?
Well, you know, 3 years after September 11, things only intensified in the world, and it was predictable that after intervention in Afghanistan and Iraq, Muslim world would get, in the beginning was a little upset, now they seriously moving into a very large, unhappy family of almost 1 billion people, and that's a serious situation not only for United States but for Europe as well. And I think things only be intensifying, especially with Iranian president constantly proclaiming about destruction of Israel, physical destruction, as well as Kim Yar-chan, the president of North Korea, threatening more tests, nuclear accomplished. And so seriously, situation is getting, obviously worse, and everybody recognizes that. But I think it's something to do with the politics and kind of a short vision. And unfortunately, our leaders sometimes make fast moves, but very long circumstances. And now we're facing a situation when many Muslim countries simply unhappy, and they seriously coming together, which create a serious threat for United States security, I believe.
I certainly share your concern. And I think that what we need to do is get the American people to realize that we got real problems. And of course, I think that the average American says it can't happen here. And I don't know why it can't happen here. I believe if God is just, his justice will not sleep forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. Igor Shafid, and of course, he actually has really goes all over the country trying to educate people about the real danger that we face, and of course, the things that people will have to be prepared to do to take care of themselves, and certainly what communities can do to begin to prepare to take care of themselves. So, certainly, you know, what do you think that the average individual should be doing at this time in preparation for the possibility that we could be facing a major cataclysmic event?
Well, first of all, I always want to address back to the spiritual side, and I still believe that God supernaturally protecting the United States so far, but things going around is not easy on the spiritual world as well, and I know people need back to the roots, back to the foundation of the United States, and this means back to God. And another situation is the physical protection of the border. Boards are still open, and I know some Bush administration trying to do some things and build some wall, or start at least doing this project between Mexico and the United States. But realistically, right now in this situation, people in the United States need to be ready for, I'm not saying catastrophic size events, but probably local, small, maybe suicide bombers, maybe in the local restaurants, in the local places, in the malls, maybe busy locations, subway systems. It's possible that we might start having problems like people in Israel experience on a daily basis.
You hold on just a minute. We have a gentleman on the line here. Mike has got the information on. Apparently, you're going to be talking the Peacewood Inn. This is what I thought, the old Paz of Tampa Inn. Mike, do you know, have a telephone number for people to call if they've been interested in hearing Dr. Shafid's talk this coming Friday evening?
Yeah, and by the way, that's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock,
November
okay.
3rd, and there's two telephone numbers, one for Connie. Both phone numbers are 831 area code, and the one number is 688-0636, and Jones is 728-3921.
All right.
And I don't suppose she minds that going out on the air.
Okay, 688-0636 or 728-3921 if you'd be interested in hearing Dr. Shafid's talk while you call one of those two numbers. One's Connie Gaynor, the other's Joan Paris. And of course, get that you'll get the information and details about the talk. Thanks so much.
Well, there's a small cover charge. I won't say how much.
All right, fine. We'll just call in. It's going to be well worthwhile hearing
right.
Dr. Shafid. I wish I could be there. I we're going to actually have dinner beforehand and get a chance to meet Dr. Shafid, but I have to be back here on the radio. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Okay. And so with it, Dr. Shafid will be talking in the Monterey Bay area this coming Friday. And Dr. Shafid, of course, certainly has a great deal to offer. We do carry his book. It's called the Red Zone, isn't it?
Yes, Inside the Red Zone.
Inside the Red Zone. And we think it's got a great list in there. It's something that you should read and, of course, take heed to. Because, of course, if you're not prepared to look after yourself, who's going to look after you? And if you really think that you can depend on the government, they're looking after themselves, but you're going to have to look after yourself, too. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Iker Shafid, and we're talking about really what the future holds. He feels that there'll probably be perhaps some more in the way of terrorist attacks. Is there a possibility, perhaps, of a freighter going up down along the coast, launching a nuclear weapon at some of our major cities? Is that a possibility?
Well, the way so far the boats and us are unprotected, and it is a high possibility somebody can bring device inside the United States. But most realistically, I can see the big threat, of course, from countries like Iran right now. And definitely they have a direction. The direction is clear. And United States in the list of the enemies, and they do have production abilities to now produce nuclear devices. Some saying it only can happen in 2010, for example, like France, but I think it can happen a lot early. And obviously, if some devices can be brought inside the United States, we're facing a disaster scenario in that case. So it is a possibility, of course.
Okay, very good. Well, certainly the things that people should be thinking about in preparation for it, what do you suggest people do?
Well, the best way, lean on, their own, like in my book, Inside the Red Zone, I have a list of materials and supplies. People can simply buy it at any store, Walmart, Home Depot, and of course, probably have a suitcase at home and be ready. Even in my house, we have always a stock of water supplies in the garage and little things like gloves to protect from contamination, hands, some masks, simple dust masks. So you can buy in a Home Depot or even store and have a multiple stockpile just in case, and little things like a Tyvek suit, for example, which only costs about $4 or $5, but can completely cover a human body except the face, and it's a very good protection against any radiological fallout, because radiological fallout will be a serious hazard after, let's say, nuclear detonation, at least for some time. And this is little steps and little things people should take and have for the whole family, at least, you know, supplies like this, simple supplies. And it can help at least for some short time, maybe for a day, maybe for a few days. But that can be a serious help, because most people be tried, of course, evacuate from the city, and it sometimes take a long time because roads be blocked or destroyed, a lot of traffic and collisions and everything else. So realistically, people be trapped, many people, for a long time at the same location. There's be a lot of hazardous material outside the home.
Well, because we saw this actually in New Orleans, when actually there were people who tried to get out of the city, and the adjacent cities wouldn't let this group of people in, because they said they didn't know who they were. They might be, you know, putting additional burden on this community. They might start looting. And they actually met them on the bridge trying to get out of New Orleans, and they fired in the air. They just said, "You will not come into this city." And so, you know, you never know what's going to happen. If there's an emergency, you can always have a chaotic situation. And so I think people, you know, certainly make all sorts of preparations, but they should start thinking about that. You actually live in Nevada, don't you?
Yes, Las Vegas, Nevada.
And do you think that's a fairly safe place?
Well, the uniqueness of Nevada is desert around. There's pretty much nothing outside for many, many miles. And even unfortunately, the city, they create a plan, evacuation plan, but it's all very, you know, it's poorly done. It's not completed. And mostly for natural disasters, not for WMD incident or some kind of a terrorist attack.
Do you know if they have a plan here in Santa Cruz, where we live, where you're going to be talking this coming weekend?
Yes, and yes, I will be covering the issues on, you know, every city should have a realistic plan, not just a plan. So exactly geographically fit location and territory, so it truly can help people when time comes, you know, and truly work.
And I think it's fascinating that, of course, our local fire departments, the chiefs, are actually inviting you to come here to tell them, and, of course, anybody else who wants to know, you know, what the real problems are. So I'm glad you're coming. I'm glad that our public officials are aware of the fact that there is a potential problem. And, of course, looking at this not only from a geopolitical but from a spiritual point of view, I think that problem is very real. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Igor Safid, and if you have any questions, why, you're welcome to call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. Igor Safid, and of course we're talking about really the potential for a bacteriological or chemical or certainly nuclear attack. And with each one, you'd have to have a different approach, and yet with each one there are many commonalities in the things that you would need in the way of body covering, things to protect yourself from the mask, the gloves, all the things that you ordinarily would want to run down to the store and get. But believe me, if there was a problem, you'd run down, but you'd never get to the store, that's for certain. So Dr. Safid, are they really making preparations across America? Because I know you're on the front lines of this battle, giving talks all over. Are many communities actually inviting you to come in to talk to them?
Well, after 9/11, it was quite busy schedule, and things now slowing down, because I think in the United States, people don't see much terrorist attacks or something real serious happening. And typically people just, you know, keeping their business going, and they're thinking about other more pleasant things. And, you know, if I say about, you know, my scheduling, I'm busy with different projects, especially for hospital preparedness right now. But in general, I can see decrease of invitation from the conferences, just probably because, as I say, people get the news, they heard the news, but they're just busy with their own things. I do know that the federal agencies, I mean, the, you know, government, giving them, Department of Homeland Security, giving them some money for first responders, FEMA, to create stockpiles with different antidotes and antitoxins and immunostimulators and other stuff for against biological or chemical agents. But I still think, personally, as a families, if I don't know what percentage of people truly just go in a store and buy simple things and store at the home. I don't know. I don't want to guess, but I don't believe it's a high percent in the population of the United States.
Well, now, you mentioned something to build up the immune system. What did you have specifically in mind?
Well, build up immune system. I mean, vitamins in this case definitely not being an answer. And in protection against some pandemics, we can, you know, use the Tamiflu maybe. But again, this is all partial immunoprotection. And personally, one of the techniques used, at least in Russia, they're using ginseng.
Ginseng, okay, hold up that thought for just a minute. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Igor Safid. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Igor Safid, and he is certainly an amazing story. And for those of you who haven't read it, it's included in a book which we carry called Inside the Red Zone. And, of course, he was raised in certainly in communist Russia and had relatives who were involved with the party. And he eventually became a Christian, came to America, married an American girl, and certainly he's living in Las Vegas, but he's traveling across the country trying to educate people about the things that he learned, because, of course, in Russia, everything was done to prepare the medical personnel to take care of people in case of a nuclear, biological, or chemical attack. Unfortunately, this is not well stressed here in America. There's a few people who are concerned about it. There certainly will be a small cadre of doctors in every community who have some degree of training, but I will tell you that I've been to major meetings where there have been representatives of FEMA there, and when the question was asked, what's the government doing to help to prepare for us, the answer was, nothing, you better be making preparation for yourself and look after yourself. Would that be a fairly good statement? You mentioned, of course, that they did have some supplies, but you were also mentioning that you thought that people should be concerned about building up their own immunity, and that one of the things in Russia they did was to stress things like ginseng and other things of that sort. Is that right?
Yes. Well, it's pretty much, if you want to call this alternative healthcare, alternative treatments, but a stimulation of the immune system is a very tricky subject because, when you don't know when attack occurred, if you start stimulating immune system on a daily basis, you simply, make that immune system real weak and susceptible to infections after about 6-8 months constant stimulation. And, of course, it's not always a healthy choice. But, speaking of vaccinations and everything else, which United States government supposedly provide against any bio attacks, I think we're still quite far from reality because, population is large, and even like smallpox vaccines, I don't believe they have enough for everybody. I know they don't have enough. And, of course, this can create a very difficult scenario if something serious occurred, like, let's say, biological attack with a smallpox. And hopefully it's never occurred for real, but, supplies of weapons, smallpox weapons, for example, was exist in the Soviet Union and Soviet military, and I do believe they still exist today in Russian Federation. And access to this kind of very powerful, highly contagious pathogens and diseases from terrorist point of view, well, it's probably possible. It's not that easy to spread this type of material because you need to have a special devices and they're not that, they're not selling in the store, this type of devices, of course. But reality is that terrorists in different countries, they have very good connections and Speaking of Chechnya, for example, Chechen guerrillas have a very close relation with even Russian military inside. They have insiders and they have entrances to the some classified facilities. So again, if you'll see some outbreaks is possible, but I don't know if government have enough supplies today for everybody. Probably answer be no.
Now, there's a very interesting article recently in the Washington Post weekend edition. I take the Washington Post weekend edition because sometimes it will have fascinating material there you will never read elsewhere. And there was an article within the last two months about Fort Detrick, Maryland, where apparently they have an active program to create new diseases in the name of, well, somebody else might create them, so we have to learn all about them. And of course, the question is, what happens if these new diseases that they're creating were to get out? I mean, over there it's secure. Well, somebody got anthrax out of a laboratory in this country, and it killed a certain number of people. Very, very fine. At least initially it was militarized. Now they're saying it wasn't, but we really don't know what we can believe. But things have gotten out of the laboratories before, and I believe they can get out of the laboratories again. And I think that really people almost have to be prepared to avoid other people if there's an epidemic, to stay pretty well in their own home. Would that be a good thing to do, Doctor?
Yes, if it's a serious release outside, and if we'll see signs of multiple outbreaks because of a highly contagious disease, like I gave example of smallpox, but it might be some hemorrhagic fevers, definitely, at least in the beginning, the safest place for a population will be inside their own home. And the biggest mistake they can do is go on the quick care facilities or a hospital for any type of care, because this is where they can get inoculated, and that only can intensify and spread outbreaks of viral, especially pathogens. So in that case, they should stay home. And, in that case, probably duct tape might even work. So they can maybe duct tape the windows. But you know what? Honestly, answers in that case probably not even exist if somebody truly released a viral biological weapon, because at that time things will be going very fast, unfortunately. And, again, safest place will be at home for sure, at least for a few first days.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do, if you please. And it relates to not so much your specialty, if you'd care for an somewhat off-topic question, but rather as a former resident of Behind the Iron Curtain. And that is, you can hear me okay directly?
Yeah, what's the question, Roger?
Yeah, I wanted to ask for a while, someone as yourself, I don't know if you were much inner party while you were still back.
What's the question?
Well, if you had a good pulse on, say, the sentiment of the average Joe, and, like, what I'm getting at is, if you go back, say, 30 years ago, it was, of course, the official Communist Party line that is about American imperialist intentions. Would I be correct in guessing in that time frame, you were back there, that while that was the party line, it might be more likely to have been laughed off by the average Joe citizen, but...
What was the question, though?
But that whereas today, the same average citizen with our military excursions of the last 10 years might come to believe that popularly.
All right, fine. Thank you so much, Roger. And we'll get to... do you think that the people of Russia, how do you think that they might feel today towards America? Would they be concerned about America's intentions?
These days, Russians, over 10 years passed after Soviet Union collapsed, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Russia now. Unfortunately, not as a free land of opportunities, and things going back quite fast in Russia. The law is changing, but just the population, just the people. I know that old generation, they don't trust the United States. I know that as a fact. And they brainwashed by communism for so long, 74 years or not, but they don't have a trust established. young generation of people right now in Russia, well, they too busy with drugs, alcohol, and everything else. So I don't know if they involved heavily in politics, and they even have any concern about look at United States as an enemy. But at the same time, I know that propaganda even today exists in Russian Federation, and in fact, about 2 weeks ago, the Parliament of Russian Federation proclaimed, it was an official statement, that United States will be involved in a revolution in Russia at 2008, and they're already infiltrating the agents inside the country to remove Vladimir Putin from his position and do so-called Orange Revolution in a stereotype like in Ukraine or Georgia.
Right.
So you can see the propaganda still going in Russia today also.
And so I think hope that answers Roger's question, that certainly they're doing everything they can to alienate the Russian people from America, just as they're doing everything, I believe, in the Muslim countries to turn the Muslim countries against the United States, as we're doing everything we can in this country, even with many of our religious leaders, to get the American people to hate the Muslims or to fear the Muslims or whatever it would be. So I feel we're entering into a very, very unstable time in our nation's history. Well, you know, certainly as far as the danger of a chemical, biological, or nuclear warfare, would you suggest that people have things on hand like ginseng or perhaps garlic compounds or oil of oregano or other things that seem to have an effect on the immune system?
Well, the problem is about the immunostimulators like interleukins, for example, or in Russia they're using specially made for mostly for military purposes substances like timolin. It's a very powerful hormonal drug and stimulate immune system for a very short time. But
what is the title? What is it called?
It's a timolin.
Timolin, okay.
Yeah, timolin is extract from the gland. I'm trying to figure out in English that gland in the brain.
The pineal gland?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And in the Russian army, they did a lot of research on the subject, but again, it's not available for population. It's available mostly for military personnel only. And in the United States, again, if I say we can take ginseng high doses or just even vitamin C, a few thousand milligrams, and, you know, maybe somehow can stimulate a little bit the immune system. But the problem is those stimulations, that alternative type of stimulations, they are not strong enough to protect from, for example, aerosol form of pathogen. In other words, disease still be developing anywhere, and it's not exactly stopped a person. So obviously we'll be looking for probably mask at that moment, something like a very good HEPA filter mask at least, and we can prevent airborne material, you know, penetration inside the lungs. And, of course, again, vaccination as a prophylactic, which United States government and any other governments, they are looking at the first, they're placing that prophylactical treatment first, like vaccinate a whole population. Well, it's negative and positive, of course, effects, and when we don't have anything to do, this is probably be one of the goals, properly protect population or at least stop multiple outbreaks of highly pathogenic infections in the city.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Shafid, who really is traveling around the country trying to encourage people to actually begin making preparations for a catastrophic event. And we do carry his book, Inside the Red Zone, which has a list of all the things you need to think about. And a lot of people don't like to think about this sort of thing, but you have to, if you care about yourself and your family, at least begin making the preparations now and just hope and pray we never have to use them. But the way things are going in this world, I think we're living in an increasingly uncertain world. Well, now, as far as certainly as the things that people would do, you suggested have things on hand to actually build up your immune system. And would you think there's a place for something like garlic? You mentioned ginseng. Was garlic a good product or not?
Well, yes, garlic is a good product. And, of course, for light infections like, you know, influenza, just a simple cold, it works in my family well. But, again, if we're talking about man-made delivery of pathogen weaponized, those probably stimulators, alternative type, can only work, well, partially, and if, let's say, if it's maybe influenza, a bioweapon, which was developed in Soviet Union in the 80s, they might at least some partially, you know, protect some people with a strong immune systems. But if person have already weak immune system, for example, with the chronic illnesses, you know, positive HIV or people with liver problems, chronic bronchitis and allergic reactions, asthma, those people with weak immune systems would be very difficult for them to you know, lean on garlic or ginseng or other immunostimulators, because at that time, my most recommendation, they should have a complete protection of the respiratory tract first, for sure.
Have you ever talked to Dr. Kenneth Alevek, you know, the gentleman who had actually worked in the chemical warfare unit? That wasn't his name when he was in Russia, but he came, Ken Alevek, as he came to America,
yes,
changed his name.
No, I never met and talked with him, but our paths never crossed, but I do know he worked in a biopreparate and he was one of those, not the founders, but developers of many different bioweapons in Soviet Union, Soviet time.
In fact, I talked to him one time on the radio. I couldn't get him to come on, but he had a nice conversation. He said that, of course, working in the biological warfare unit of the Soviet Union, he had to take immunizations against all the terrible diseases they were creating. And he took so many vaccinations, he said he was just allergic to everything. In other words, there were certainly potential allergic manifestations or complications of taking a large number of vaccines. Have you ever run into that thought?
Well, I received many vaccinations during my work in Strategic Rocket Force. We had special programs on especially multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis because we had a contact work with patients, and in most cases we didn't have any personal protective equipment on us because, at that time we were the kind of a guinea pigs ourselves, so they were trying a different type of vaccination on us when we was young, about 19, 20 years old, it was a research program, military, and they tried to see how our immune system can be protected to stimulate. And in most cases, I can say that Soviet vaccines is a very good, they're very strong, but very good vaccines. And we only had few cases when actually people developed diseases for real.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Igor Shafid to wrap up this evening's program. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Tom calling in. Tom, where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Okay. Did you have a question for our guest this evening?
Is the doctor still there?
Yes, he is.
I'd like to ask
him. Just speak up a little louder.
I'd like to ask him, how do they feel about population control in Russia?
How do they feel about population control in Russia? Do they ever, because they, basically the Russian people are dying off. They're losing far more people dying than children are being born. How would you respond to the question, Dr. Shafid?
Well, population control in Russia is a historical fact, and, you know, communists did the biggest work on that subject for more than 74 years. And even today, unfortunately, rates, abortion rates, and other problems create real serious drop in population. So, you know, for male today, for example, life expectancy in Russia for male about 55-50 years old.
Oh, gee.
Yes. Females maybe up to 65-70. So this is a whole combination of problems. I cannot just express one. And it's alcoholism. Right now in Russia, rates on drug addiction is very high. And simply young people don't want to have any children anymore at all. And because Russia has a very large population of older people right now, and those people actually go on account because they die in very large numbers. And unfortunately in Russia, the birth much less than death, and this problem, it's an old problem in Russia.
Doctor, are they bringing in other populations to replace the ones? Are they bringing in foreign people?
Well, they try and mix. Sometimes they bring in other, but from other countries. In fact, which surprisingly, mostly a Muslim population coming into Russia.
Is that the predominant religion in Russia now?
No, it's the predominant religion is Orthodox religion in Russia. And the Russians have a very, very hard, historically hard time with Islam.
I just have two more questions.
Well, we're just about out of time, Tom, but one quick question and we'll have to let you go.
I wanted to know if Solzhenitsyn is still alive.
Yes, he's still alive. Yes, he lives in Moscow, still alive.
In good health?
I cannot say that. Yeah, I don't know him personally, but, you know, I read news once in a while. Yes, he's still alive, I know, but... The reason he left because he was planning to die in Russia, so that's why he left the United States.
Doctor, thank you very much for talking to us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Right.
Okay, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Mike, do you have a quick question for other time?
Real quick, I want to know if Dr. Shafid is aware of a publication called Biological Testing Involving Human Subjects by the Department of Defense, 1977.
Okay, is that Soviet or
United States? That's actually the transcript of Senate committee hearings.
Well, I heard different tests. I mean, some was done in radiological tests, some biological, but mostly I understand, so-called volunteers. I'm not sure if it was volunteers, but I do know that special groups or the Ministry of Defense, and it's applying also for Soviet Union, not only for United States. They did test some people, yes.
Yeah, that's sort of a different subject, Mike. One of these nights we'll talk on the population control. Thanks very much, Troy. And Dr. Shafid, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you later this week. I think we have you lined up for one of our afternoon programs, and we'll look forward to seeing you for dinner on Friday.
My pleasure talking with you.
Good
thank
night,
you, Dr.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You have a good day.
Okay. And that was Dr. Iker Shafid, and it's always a pleasure having him on our program. This is the time, of course, I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we could use your help at this time, because we're trying to maintain our base of stations that we have, about 60 outlets every single week. So if you're out across America and you think we do a good job, we hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters or taking our newsletter. Under any circumstances, we'll look forward to hearing from you. And if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter or catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll certainly get that off to you. You certainly need to think very seriously about getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. We think it's an important foundation for an understanding of the spiritual battle that's going on today. If you've not yet seen the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, let me certainly encourage you to get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of this. will begin to introduce you to this truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged. The video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, will take you into the secret society that came from Great Britain back in the mid-1600s and is still here today, and can be seen manifested in Sydney and so much of the architecture in Washington, D.C., which nobody's ever going to tell you about. What people will try to tell you is that America was a Christian nation. It was a Christian nation, but it was also an occult nation, and there were occult forces here from the very, very beginning, and today they are in a predominant position. And I would simply suggest that you go to the president's webpage and read the closing remarks of his second inaugural address, where he talks about when our fathers declared a new order of the ages, when, of course, soldiers died row on row for a union based on liberty, when our citizens marched in righteous outrage under the banner of freedom now, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Now, you have to understand esoteric writing. What you do is you actually take an idea, you put it at the beginning or the end of the sentence, and then you put a lot of things in the middle to confuse people. That's how they confuse so much of what we believe today. But the president basically said, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is that ancient hope? Why, it's the new order of the ages. What is the new order of the ages? It's the Novo Ordo Seclorum, listed on the back of the dollar bill. What is this all about? Why, we're going to bring democracy to the world. And if you haven't read Manly P. Hall's writings, because we cover much of this in my newsletters, but Manly P. Hall's book, which we do carry, certainly we don't list it, but you can order it to us, The Secret Teachings, The Secret Destiny of America, his other book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. There really are secret societies out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you need to know exactly what's going on. That's The Secret Destiny of America, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. You need to get our newsletters, and of course you need to get my pamphlets entitled The Occult Hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy. They're working in America today. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls. from out across America, but please hold them until a little later when we ask for calls, because right now we have on the line Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially in our country. And if you're watching what's happening, why the housing market is beginning to level off in many areas of the country, it's beginning to literally implode. Constance Cumby was with us for the weekend, and she lives in Detroit, Michigan. And she's talking about the very real recession and depression they're having in Detroit because, of course, the automotive industry, which was once, so active there in Motor City, Detroit, but why that's simply become a remembrance of things past. I know in our area, where prices certainly inflated out of all proportion, I notice that the houses are not moving. I notice I drive past a mobile home park every day, and I noticed that there have been 6 signs of mobile homes for sale for some time. Today there were 7. It doesn't appear that any of them are moving. And I think that this is happening increasingly across America. Some areas very badly hit, areas like, say, San Diego, Las Vegas, Nevada, large developments, Phoenix, Arizona, large developments there where the first number of houses all finished, just waiting for somebody to buy them, and people aren't buying them. And as what's going to happen is increasingly why we're going to see more and more people just unable to afford the higher interest rates, certainly with the adjustable rate mortgages, this is a real factor. And then the other thing, of course, Bob Chapman has brought out that was very interesting, is that it used to be that the banks would hold the loans. In other words, they would lend you money, they would hold the loan, you would make the payment to them. But increasingly, while banks, of course, have shifted that burden to someone else, they've then sold the loan, they made a profit on the loan, then they sell the loan to maybe Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or to some other company, and then they bundle these together and they sell them to the hedge funds, and that's all well and good, the hedge funds, and use that as leverage, and of course everything is built upon leverage, and then of course they can certainly you have all these good profits coming in as long as people are paying for their homes. But when the price of the home gets less than the value of the mortgage, increasingly people are going to default. And when that happens, when these $1.5 trillion in hedge funds begins to come unglued, we could be presented with some very real problems. What are your thoughts about that, Melody?
Well, I think there's going to be some major problems. And I know on your program, and I know on the programs that I am on, the programs that I listen to, we've been talking about the housing bubble for, a year and a half, a year and a half minimum. And it takes time, and we see Nevada, the second highest rate in the country of homes entering into foreclosure. I mean, 1 of every 452 Nevada homes entered the foreclosure process in September, and that's incredible.
It really is, and I think we're going to see this growing all across the country. And, of course, the thing is we've pleaded with people, batten down the hatches, be prepared for some very, very difficult times that lie ahead financially, and it will wipe out many who are unprepared. Okay, Melody, we'll pick up the story from there. Actually, gold and silver were up a little today. Did they end up today pretty well?
Yeah, we had a good day in gold today. It was up over $6, closing above 600 at 605.40, and silver was up 12 cents at 12.19. And I see in the aftermarket gold's down a little bit, but I think it's going to stay around the 600 mark. It's been doing very well. In fact, I did a report earlier today where September 29th, the gold closed at 599. So, you know, for the month, we still had a gain of $6 with today's close at 605. So it likes the 600, but it's having a hard time staying up and above the 600 mark, but we know everything has to look good for the elections, and just as the Dow is a symbol of good things, you know, gold is a symbol of things that are not as they should be. So that's why you see gold being manipulated just as the Dow is. gold is being manipulated on the downside with the Dow being manipulated on the upside. So, it's very positive for gold. The fundamentals for gold have not changed every day. Not one of the situations of the financial area are addressed by the administration. I mean, of course, their main focus right now are the elections. And it's interesting, Dr. Stan, I mean, when I go out and I talk to people, I try to get their idea of what they think is going to happen and how they will be affected by the economy when it worsens. And it amazes me that a lot of people, they don't feel they will be affected. You know, they feel they're on the lower side of the scale of things, and they believe that this poor economy will only affect the wealthy. You know, people that are making and living in these $300 and $400 and half a million homes, only those people will be affected. And it amazes me that they don't see spending. If they're in retail, they don't see their customers cutting back. And it never ceases to amaze me how the excuses or the, or maybe not so much excuses, but their analysis and their reasoning to protect their belief that they will not be touched by what will happen to our economy maybe a year from now or maybe even 2 years from now. So it's interesting when you talk to people and they come up. And I gave the example when, you know, in the 70s, you know, when we had recessions, younger people usually will not be affected.
Hold that thought just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Melody Cedarstrom, and she's talking about an awful lot of people think that what's going on is not going to affect them, but I think that she feels everybody should realize that there is no way to avoid it. When the currency gets into problems, why, no man's life or property are safe. And we have never gone through a major economic crisis, not going back to the really severe one back to the 1930s. I'm old enough to remember people coming to the door begging for food. And this was not an occasional thing. This was day after day after day. There just were no jobs. People were out of work. People were desperate. There was no, certainly, the safety net at that time. And nobody starved. Everybody pitched in. My folks always were willing to share or give a sandwich to somebody. But there were an awful lot of people who were having real problems at that time. Fortunately, we had a moral country. We had a set of compassion for our fellow citizens. I'm not sure this is the same country that existed in America in the 1930s. So anyway, you were just saying that many of the young people don't think this is going to affect them.
Well, you know, a lot of them lived through, you know, the prior recessions, you know, in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. But they were jobs. You know, you could go out and you could find another job if you were laid off from one. There was always, you know, Motorola, or there was, you know, some sort of factory that you could go to. You could go to, you know, GM if you lived in those areas. There were jobs that paid fairly well. You didn't have a problem. But today, basically, all you can do is go from McDonald's to Burger King. They don't realize that they don't have, the jobs are not there in order for them to move about. And we already believe that, you know, the unemployment numbers are not true, that they're just hedged to make people believe that the employment is good. And I came across an article, you know, we talk a lot about outsourcing, and what's amazing is I read an article where people should be happy about insourcing. And this is where you have foreign companies coming into this country. And it's really sad that you go to these communities that have been devastated by factories leaving, like GM and Ford and many, many, many other manufacturers that have left. And they're welcoming any type of source of income. And so you have a lot of these outside companies coming in, and they're certainly being factored off. They're being recruited by cities or mayors. They're going and they're trying to recruit foreign companies to come in here, you know, to set up shop, to supply jobs. And I mean, it's just so backwards, Dr. Stan, and it's just it certainly is, doesn't show any type of problems that are being addressed, and that no improvement in the very near future.
No, this is my fear, that and people really don't understand that what is happening is part of a carefully orchestrated plan. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to lower the living standards of the American people. It's very obvious if you've read the master plan, the Earth Charter, but the average person has never even heard of the Earth Charter, and they cannot believe that there would be a group of people, in fact, as the State Department has a page there, where all misinformation. You can tell when there's a misinformation. You can tell when there is a exaggerated, outrageous conspiracy theory, because they claim that there is a vast, powerful, evil force that is secretly manipulating events. Now, that's the State Department's definition. There's a vast, powerful, evil force that's secretly manipulating events. And if anybody tells you that, why, of course, it's obvious it's a conspiracy theory and not to be believed. Well, I believe that there is a vast, powerful, evil force that's out there. And I think anybody can go up on the Internet and pull down the Earth Charter and read it and realize that this is a satanic plan to destroy the economy of our country. So either the State Department is lying, there's page there on misinformation, and we'll be talking about that in our next newsletter. What they're trying to do is keep people from understanding what's really going on in America, and that's very disturbing.
Well, they're doing a good job, because there's a lot of people that just don't understand what's going on, and I don't know if they're just so caught up in their everyday life. They have the mainstream media who is, conditioning their thoughts, and everything that's on television they believe, and they do, and they don't take the time, or they don't have the time to find out what's happening and why they're being affected, and why they have to work so many hours, and why they're only getting minimum wage, and why that's not going up, and why things are beginning to cost more and more and more. I don't think they just don't have the time to learn, and not until it's too late.
Well, our job, of course, is to try to make people think. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, comment on the economy, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. As of next year, why the Chinese communists, and I say communists, we never refer to them as communists, but they are a communist dictatorship, and when they tell you we defeated communism, why don't they ever mention it's communist North Korea, it's communist Vietnam now, it's communist Cuba, it's communist China, with 1,250,000 to 300,000 people living in this communist nation. The communism is alive and well, and what they've done is distorted our reality by lying about it. But they're going to start flooding America with cars. Now, of course, they can make them very, very cheaply over there. I'm sure they'll be cheaper than anything you can buy made in the United States. We're talking about 2007. That's just a few months away. Have you heard about the communist cars coming in here from communist China?
Yes, I have. And people will buy them hook, line, and sinker because they're strapped, and they're going to try to find a less expensive way to drive. I don't know what the gas mileage will be on them, but I'm sure it'll be better than what GM puts out in their big SUVs. So I'm sure China will be very profitable. I'm sure the American people will accommodate them in making them successful here in the States.
Now, what do you think is going to happen as far as the price of oil is concerned after the elections are over?
I don't have a time frame, but I think they're also suppressing that. I know you hear a lot of things, wait till after the election, wait till after the election. And I, too, think we'll see some things change. We have November, December, and even January. That's a little turmoil in the markets. Gold usually performs very well in November, December. In fact, the last 3 years, December has... In December, gold has hit its high for the year, so it should be a very good month for gold. oil. I believe this is just temporary. You know, the demand is still there. The demand hasn't decreased. You know, people will be purchasing oil for the winter. I believe the winter is going to be a little worse than last year, and certainly has been so far. It's a lot colder this year than it was last year at this time. And so I think we'll see oil go back up. And because what's interesting, if you take a look at diesel and if you take a look at kerosene, those prices have not changed. They haven't come down like the gasoline, unleaded gasoline that everybody uses for their vehicles. But yet when you're driving down the street and you see the people up there changing the numbers on the gas stations for unleaded gas, you see that coming down. I mean, we're still in this area in central Pennsylvania for the cheap unleaded. It's still $2.12, but your kerosene is still $2.69 and $2.79 for your diesel, and they all come out of the same barrel. So why are they still so expensive? And gasoline for our vehicles has come down. So it's just another manipulation. You know, it's just another conditioning of the people out there.
And I think it's really so interesting because it's much easier, it costs far less to refine diesel or
mm-hmm.
kerosene than it does gasoline. So what they've done is they've cut the price on the things that are more expensive and kept the price up on the things that are less expensive for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this has had a profound impact on the trucking industry. I know that some of our supporters are truckers, and they've just parking their trucks. They just can't make it on the current trucking rate. So this is going to have an impact. Either they've got to get more money to cover the diesel costs, or they're just going to have to get out of the business.
And you know what? That will support the Mexican drivers coming up here. So, you know, as our truckers can't make it, as they have to go down, then they'll be able to replace them with the Mexican truckers up, you know. And, I mean, it's just, you can almost see, you know, how it is designed.
And of
as
course,
you mentioned earlier,
this will have a profound impact on our farmers, too, because,
yeah.
of course, the farmers are, some of them are not working on a large margin, and the price of diesel, which they use to power their tractors and other farm equipment, you know, of course, that goes up. Why? Because their profit margin goes down. And, of course, when you get the price up high enough, it isn't worthwhile even bothering to put in the crops. And could it be that one of these days we'd find there'd be food shortages? Certainly we know that the production over in Australia was dramatically down this year, not because of the price of diesel, but because of a massive drought. But I can foresee, without too much difficulty, the fact that, you know, we would begin having shortages of the basic staples, and we're told in the latter days that there will be great famine sweeping the world. Could that really be going to happen? Well, it's going to be very interesting as this story unfolds. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom, and certainly Melody supports Radio Liberty, and we support Melody, and we think she does a great job, and we have talked to an awful lot of people who've been in touch with her and been very, very pleased. So we'll be back here in just a moment of Radio Liberty. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. And, you know, apparently right now the hedge funds are not making as much money as they have in the past. And, of course, to continue to be attractive for the large buyers, why, apparently they're taking increasing risks. And, of course, many of the purchases of the hedge funds are guaranteed through the derivative market. What would happen if the hedge funds start losing money and then have to turn to the derivative market to make up for their losses? What do you think the potential for a catastrophic and catalyzing event could be?
Oh, gold 2,000, gold 3,000 when that happens, because everybody will be running for a little bit of safety and for quality and... I think every day, every minute, our economy is micromanaged. They treat things when they need to be treated in whatever comes their way. I had an article I came across of it's America and the Dollar Illusion, and it was published by a German book. It's an essay that came out, World War for Wealth, The Global Grab for Power and Prosperity. And it's by the editor Gabor Steingart. And it talks about why our foreign countries, why the countries continue to purchase our dollar, even though, you know, almost every country in the world distrusts its own currency, and to the extent that it prefers to invest for money from our treasury here in the United States. And it's interesting because it talks about the dollar and why people continue to buy it, and it all comes back to fear and greed, and it comes back to it's just a matter they're able to continue to play the game, and that's what they called it. It's just a game, and you have people and you have countries with lots of money, and they play it because it's less dangerous than quitting. But the article continues, and you can read this on my website. I posted it on the website. And it's like everybody is watching everyone else closely, and everyone knows that the stable economic superpower, the United States, has ended. But they're just hoping that they can just keep it going just a little bit longer. And it all comes back to faith, it comes back to greed, and it comes back to fear. And right now, their greed is just a little bit stronger than their fear. But when that fear factor comes in, because they don't want to be last on the ladder in order to get rid of their dollars, but they're right at that point. And anything, any outside, any catastrophic catalyst, I mean, it could be anything, could make them decide that, you know, they would rather deal with the fear and the losing dollar and sell their dollars than to continue to play the game. And it's an interesting article from a different, because often we talk about manipulations, we talk about the way the Fed goes in there, and they work with Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and they print the dollars, and they tell them how to play the market and so forth. And this is sort of from a different aspect, from I guess a German looking in at the United States.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and she's talking about this German article that was written. She has it posted up on her website. What's the title of the article, Melody?
The article is America and the Dollar Illusion.
And, of course, it's just simply that other countries are and people are buying the dollar because, of course, they want to play the game. But, of course, when they get concerned that the game may be coming to an end, there's going to be a rush for the exit. It's sort of like when you play musical chairs and the music stops. Everybody's rushing for a chair, but there aren't enough chairs there. And what does he think that the music is going to stop? Does he have any idea?
No, he doesn't really, but he talks about the self-delusion. He talks about the how the unemployment is just numbers, you know, a paltry, you know, poll that they take. But he says, about the U.S. foreign debt that grows by about $1.5 billion every weekday. And he talks about that it reached about a $3 trillion. So he talks about that, and he talks about the private household debt, both at home and abroad, has now reached $9 trillion. And 40% of these debts have been incurred since 2001. But what he does say is that it's just a matter of time. And that time is soon approaching. And so it's not a matter that it's not going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
And I agree with that.
He had some very other good articles about the how Europe is being affected by globalism, and how their societies, how they're getting a different class of people, not wealth and not just poor, but more just uneducated, not caring, troublemakers, and how that group of people are growing due to globalism.
This article is written by a German economist, and of course, so one of the things is that the German economy has been actually exporting quite a bit, and they have a positive balance of payments. In fact, the German economy is the only economy in Europe that's really doing fairly well and is keeping the European economy afloat. But of course, as more and more of those German plants begin moving offshore to China, where they can produce at a much lower rate, this is going to have a profound impact upon Germany. It's going to affect every nation in the world, as certainly our major manufacturers here in the United States and in Europe and in Germany begin moving into China for their manufacturing. It's going to impact upon the quality of life in Europe. It's going to affect the quality of life right here in the United States. And I think that they need a great distraction to keep the American people from realizing what's going on. And there's no better distraction than a war. And this is my concern, that this is one reason why they're keeping the war going in the Middle East and why they may very well expand that war. It keeps us from realizing what's going on here at home. Now, certainly, I know you follow Bob Chapman's remarks and letters very closely. He was saying that, it's certainly, apparently this time of year, there's a tremendous amount of gold buying in India and in Malaysia and that part of the world. Do you think that may be why the price of gold is going up so well here the first of this week?
I think so. I mean, they've had their major holiday. Their major holiday is over, but they still continue buying. So we still have major buying from India, China, and the Middle East. And so, yes, that does have an impact. And so I do believe that right now. But also, the inventories, people don't realize how little it will take to eliminate the inventories of gold. I mean, even prior to Y2K, the year 2000, it didn't take long for certain products to disappear, certain gold coins to disappear. And you can't even compare that with what will happen when the general populace of this country wakes up and they decide to buy gold. So far, the gold movement has been by countries like India, China, and the Middle East, and by paper trading. We have yet to see a panicked buy from the general populace.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's going to certainly happen as things get a little increasingly unstable. Melody, why don't you get out your telephone number and your web page?
Telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That is 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Make sure you spell out and. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Melody. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Melody Cederstrom, and of course we're talking about what's happening to gold and silver. We're talking about what's happening to the economy, and most people, they don't like to think about it, because if they're out of a job, why, they get their unemployment for a time, but, so many of the people that are getting new jobs are not getting jobs that pay as well or certainly have the benefits, and this is one of the things that's happening. Corporate America is cutting back on pensions. Corporate America is cutting back on health benefits for their employees. It's the only way that they can possibly really compete effectively with other countries like China and Mexico, where they do not have the high wage base for their workers. Would you say that's a fair appraisal?
Yes, I do believe it's a fair appraisal.
well, what's going to happen, you know, because, you know, healthcare is so ridiculously expensive now. Certainly I'm covered by Medicare, and my wife will be before very long. But, you know, for the average individual who doesn't have health insurance, if they have to go, you know, for their employer, if they have to go out and buy it on their own, that's going to take a large chunk of their income.
Health insurance, I mean, I know what my health insurance has done in the past 3 years. I mean, it's up over 50%. And I'm a healthy person. So people are just going to go without insurance. And then they'll go to the hospitals or whatever, and, you know, they won't pay their bills and, you know, be picked up by the taxpayers or whatever. And so things are not going down. Prices are not going down. Everywhere we look, we keep seeing things getting more and more expensive, you know. So, you know, as things go higher, we should see gold go higher. You know, these are all inflationary numbers. And
one of the interesting things, Bob Chapman comments, that to keep the price of gold down, the central banks of the world have been just dumping gold on the market. In other words, because there is a demand for gold, so they're selling off their gold to try to keep the price down. But, of course, he thinks that there really is not that much gold left to sell into the market. Do you think there's any truth to that? And he doesn't think that the United States has a lot of gold. He thinks they're deceiving the American people about the gold holdings of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's two different sides. You know, we certainly know there's no gold in the Fort Knox. You know, the Federal Reserve, if they have it, I know there's reports.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom, and we're talking really about what's going on financially. We were talking about, do they really have gold in Fort Knox? And, of course, they have television programs, and they tell you all about it. They even show you the pictures of the gold that's there. But, of course, is it really telling you the truth? Is television being used to create our reality? And why would they even be bothering to emphasize this on programs that are shown over and over again about all the gold that's there? They have some military officer says, oh, I've seen the gold, it's there. You can trust me. I work for the government, and I can tell you it's there. And so why would they have all those programs if there weren't questioning in people's minds whether there is any really there? And could we trust them to tell us the truth? That, I think, is the big question. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that their government, the Treasury, has any gold? Do you think that the Federal Reserve has gold? And who is buying all of this gold when foreign central banks will end up selling, you know, 10, 20, 30 tons, 100 tons, 200 tons? You know, this is not being bought by mom and pop, you know, who live in Podunk here in the United States. This is being bought by people of great wealth. Somebody's buying up these massive amounts of gold that are being sold by the central banks. And you notice they never tell us who's buying it?
No, they don't. And beware of anyone who says, trust me. You know, if they have to say, trust me, then you know, you want to go the other way, and the last thing you want to do is trust them. But, no, I believe the central banks and a lot of their leasing, I think they're just about out of gold to do that. And, you know, there was an article where the U.S. is beginning to, the Treasury is delivering melt gold, which is, I guess Bob reported that they're delivering melt gold, which is the bottom of the barrel gold that they have to swap with Germany, England, and France. And so, you know, he thinks that they're just about out of gold, and there's not a lot of gold out there, and I do believe that when markets are purging and you have a currency crisis, and when we have a currency crisis, I believe the currencies of the world will go into, will be affected. I think that you'll see gold rise, and that's why when people talk about currency trading and getting into these forex markets, it just amazes me that people even dabble in it, because they're all fiat currencies, and when you compare their performances with gold, gold will outperform them. And it's so risky, but yet so many people have the thought of the get-rich-quick, the lottery mentality. They don't want to save. They don't want safety. They want something that's going to perform and make them millionaires, and they think they'll do that with currency trading. And I've even heard recommendations for certain government bonds. And, again, you have to be careful because they do carry a risk. And then, again, you don't have the protection for the inflation risk because, you know, many years in the future you're going to have less purchasing power because it's a dollar-denominated investment. So it does not protect you against any types of inflation risks. So you have to, when you're going into investments, at least make sure that you have them offset with gold, because that way you don't have to worry about actually losing anything. You're balanced, and that's what every portfolio should be, is balanced. So you should have a minimum of 30% of gold in your portfolio. Minimum.
I think it's really very interesting that certainly Warren Buffett has been betting against the dollar for several years, and he's lost. In other words, apparently he lost something like $900 million, whether it was last year or the year before that, but he's investing more money, firmly convinced that the dollar is going to go down. So, you know, Warren Buffett's a pretty smart guy, and if he thinks that the dollar is going to lose value and dramatically, and of course he's leveraging this, he is actually playing the currency markets and taking a chance with, of course, the money from his Berkshire Hathaway. But through the years, Warren Buffett's been right more times than wrong. So far, he's been wrong the last couple of years. And so what's he doing? Is he getting away from it? Is he cutting his losses? No, at least I've heard, and maybe you can clarify this, Melody, you probably watch these markets closer than I do, but Warren Buffett is increasing his shorts on the dollar, planning and gambling it's going to go down. What have you heard about that?
Well, I heard a little bit about that, but I look at Warren as one of the elitists, one of the insiders, and so, you know, and I think a lot of his investments, I think they're just released to the public as a, you know, just as news. I don't think we really know what he does with his investments. I'm sure a lot of it is public record, what he does and so forth, but we do know he is taking a bet against the dollar, and, I mean, it's an easy bet. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen, and he certainly has the funds in order to cover any losses, particularly $900 million. To us, that seems like a lot, but to him, you know, it's not all that much. That's pocket change to him, so maybe he just needs some kind of a write-off for that year or something. Who knows? But I think it's a very good bet. As long as you can continue to short the dollar, I think it's just a matter of time. They need to keep that dollar strong, and if you follow the markets, that's what they really zero in on, is keeping the dollar strength. And that's what that article, I'm going to go back to the article about America and the dollar illusion, that's what it's all about, is trying to keep the dollar strong, keeping its strength, in order to keep the illusion going. And that's their main, that's the number one thing that they have to do. That's the number one thing they have to micromanage.
It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be able to continue doing this. I'm always amazed at how effective the Federal Reserve System has been in keeping this system going. A total fiat money system has existed longer than any other fiat money system in all history. And in some ways, I have to admire them. On other hands, I realize, of course, they're using the monetary system to enslave the American people.
Yeah.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest again is Melody Cederstrom. We're talking about what's happening to gold and silver. And certainly, gold mining is not requiring and not providing enough gold to meet, of course, the demand out there. So the central banks are selling off gold. And the same thing is true with silver. There's not enough silver to meet the demand, and so they're simply exhausting their stocks. And those stocks of silver are getting pretty slim at the present time, aren't they, Melody?
Yes, they are. And they've been talking about that for a long time. I'm not sure if we really know how much silver everyone owns, but silver is a good market to get into, you know, if you're going long in silver, because it has a fairly low price in which the investors can get in there and buy a lot of contracts. So silver's great. So, you know, I believe silver is really underpriced, and I think they'll really see it go, but we still have to remember that silver is an industrial metal at this point in time. It was once monetary, but its major usage today is industrial. So as industry slows, we could see a little bit of pressure on silver due to that, along with platinum and palladium. But I think it'll have a good run before that happens. But your safest, the most secure, the private, the quality, is you want gold.
I think it was really interesting talking to Bob Chapman, who I really have the greatest respect for. He said that, you know, when you're in an inflationary spiral, silver is an excellent investment. When you begin to move into deflation, why, you get out of everything but gold. In other words, certainly silver may have a run, and he's anticipating we'll have a continued inflation. And, of course, he can pretty well tell what's happening to the inflation by what's happening to the M3. Now, that is the evaluation of all of the credit and bank credit and money and savings and all the U.S. dollars there are in the entire world. And a lot of this really is not in currency of any sort. It's simply in credit, in commercial paper and things of that sort. And the question is, how rapidly is that expanding? Because as long as the government can keep expanding the amount of negotiable securities and a currency and credit out there, they can keep this thing going. If they go too long, they'll lose the dollar. And his point is, and I think it's a very valid one, that if you know what they're doing, and this is really the M3 figure, was for the first time since I can remember, and that's well over 45 years, they just can't figure out that it's just too expensive to let us know what's going on. They do not want us to know what they're doing. But Bob Chapman claims that they're actually increasing the M3 at the rate of about, I think, somewhere around 10%. Do you recall what his latest figure is for this?
Yeah, it was 9 point something, close to 10.
All right, fine. He says, you know, as long as they continue to expand this, you know, Chris, this is about 9 point something or 10% inflation every year. That's the real inflation figure. As long as they can keep that thing going, why, the economy will do fine. You know, this housing market will be turning down, manufacturing will be turning down, but the dollar will be all right until, of course, this turns down. And when this begins to turn down, you have about a year to a year and a half before the whole economy goes into depression. I thought that was really a very interesting point. What were your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, I agree. I mean, we are very inflationary, and one thing that will protect people, will protect the inflationary environment is gold. And gold more than silver, although silver will, you know, be there for it, you know, they will go up with the inflationary factors. You know, just like gold is underpriced because they haven't, you know, it hasn't caught up to the inflationary factors. I mean, gold should be trading a lot higher than $605 today. And if it just catches up to the inflation numbers, you know, gold should be trading, you know, and reports anywhere from $17 to $2,000 an ounce. So with silver being a lot higher than $12 also. So yes, gold will protect the purchasing power, or will protect your purchasing power against the rate of inflation.
Well, what sort of gold coins do you think people ought to actually be getting? Should they be getting the collectibles? Should they be getting simply the MS65s, things of that sort? Where are they going to get the best value for their investment?
Well, we don't sell very many 65 coins or any rare coins. We do have a select group of clients that are true collectors, and they do like the rarity of coins, but they are a select group. And just today I did a comparison this past month. I had mentioned that gold on September 29th sold for $599, so we had a gain of $6. And so if you were looking to purchase gold eagles or bullion coins, you basically would have a gain of $6. If you went into circulated $20 Liberty gold pieces or circulated St. Gaudens, they didn't do as well. Well, the Liberties did. They went up $7 in that time frame, but the extra fine St. Gaudens actually lost $2. So they didn't even keep up with the gain of spot price of $6. If you go into the low-end numismatic coins, the 61s and the 62s, they gained $20 and $25 in the same time frame, with the spot gold only going up $6. The 63 $20 Liberty actually gained $60 in that same time frame. The 64 St. Gaudens gained $30, and the 64 $20 Liberty, still my favorite, lost $10. So you can see the differences in how they priced out in a month, where we had a gain of $6 in the spot price of gold. I believe that everybody is different, and I do believe that you need to know what coin is suitable for you. I mean, I can give you the rates, I can give you the history, the historical aspects of the coin. You can see where their highs were, and you want to build your foundation first, and then you can speculate little. There's a lot of clients out there who just like to buy bullion coins, and that's okay too. But I believe you have to take a look, and I believe you need to have both. I believe you need to have bullion coins. I believe you need to have some low-end numismatic coins, and I believe you need to have some a little bit higher speculative coins that really perform when the spot price of gold rises. Because when we hit that deflationary period, when inflation is over, and, you know, we're not talking about confiscation or anything like that, you'll be selling your numismatic coins to buy bullion. You'll be able to probably triple or more so your ounces of gold, because when we hit deflationary period, gold will not be impacted as much as everything else, and you will still be able to protect your purchasing power by owning gold, even in deflationary periods. So it's going to protect you both ways. That's why it's so important to offset your regular investments with gold and silver.
Well, let's say, what's the telephone number where people can reach you again? Let's get your website out one more time.
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. It's discount gold and with and spelled out, silvertrading.net. If you want to drop me a email, you can send it to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And very rarely do I recommend trading your coins. You don't trade one for another. However, if you have a lot of different items that haven't done anything for you in the past year or two, I can take a look at that, and you might be able to adjust your portfolio a little bit better so you get a little bit better performance when the prices do go up. But the coins are so underpriced, it's a perfect time to get in. The fundamentals for gold are still there. They haven't changed. There isn't anything getting better. We're worse off today than we were a year, 2 years ago, and I can't imagine we'll be any better 2 years from today. So time is of the essence, and I know everybody's waiting to see what happens with the election, and you shouldn't wait for anything when you're dealing with your investments.
And I think we're really, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, certainly with the Republicans' lose control of one or both houses. How will that impact on our economy? How will the Democrats try to get back in and spend? Will they act more responsibly than the Republicans as far as cutting back on excessive government spending? We always accuse the Democrats of being the biggest spenders. But if you look carefully and see what's happened, between Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush, the biggest spenders in our nation's history. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, first I'd like to give out my phone number, 1-800-375-4188. And if you have any questions at all, it doesn't really matter. I know lots of times people are confused. They hear different things. And when we see gold begin to respond and begin to increase, I hear all kinds of stories, all kinds of recommendations, and there's all kinds of programs. And the first thing that you want to do is take possession of your gold. Don't let anyone hold it. I don't care what kind of plan it is, unless it is a plan for an IRA that's held in a bank, and there's only two programs that you should really be doing that with. So other than that, take possession of your gold. There's companies out there who have monthly programs where you can send them their money or send them your money and they hold it for, you know, 3 months or 2 weeks until they make a purchase. Don't do that. The only one that's benefiting is the person that's telling you to do it. So it's amazing. And some of the different things that I hear, buying gold, just stick with the basics. It's common sense. You don't buy 5 coins to protect your purchasing power. If you have $5,000, you don't want to buy 5 coins. That's not going to do it. You need to have it, but you have to do your research. You know, find out about different things. Same way with silver. 90% silver is the best way to get your silver. It's the least expensive. You only pay about 40 to 45 cents above spot, and that's better for you than any type of bars or rounds. So it depends, again, on your suitability and what you have in your portfolio. So you have to take a look at that. And if someone's calling you, just remember they don't have anything else to do, and so beware and what they want to try and sell you. So never buy anything off of television either. Their prices are unbelievably expensive. So
there's a lot of sharks out there in the water, wouldn't you say?
There's a lot. I'm sad to say it, in this industry, in the coin industry, there are. There's lots of sharks.
And so be careful, and certainly we've heard all sorts of good things about Melody, and that's the reason we have her here on Radio Liberty. But just be very, very careful when you are considering investing in gold and silver. But I think that and many things we talked about this evening, important things to begin making preparations. I believe we're in for some very difficult times. Melody, good night. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you, too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience, would seriously consider supporting Radio Liberty. Quite frankly, we could use your help, especially at this time as we're drawing close to the end of the year. So we want to maintain the 60 outlets we have every week. We need a voice. People are beginning to wake up all across America. They know something's wrong. They just don't know how to collect the dots, and that's our job, is to help them collect the dots. I wish you could have been here this weekend when we had certainly Constance Cumby talking about the Luciferian movement that she's been certainly watching, and then talking about Javier Solana, who was actually, much of his power came from several pieces of legislation that went through, and it's amazing how many of them had a number of 666 attached to the European Union legislation and directives. 666. Well, fascinating. We will have those videos available later on. I would simply point out we do have Dr. Abe's excellent video from last year going into the background of the influenza vaccine that is being given to pregnant women and to children 6 months of age. And, of course, certainly it doesn't do any good for the elderly, the very, very questionable benefit, other than if you want to give people Alzheimer's disease, well, you get a 1,000% increase in that, and yet you're being told by the people in government, we're here to help you. And that's why we want you to take your influenza shot, knowing full well it increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%, according to Dr. Pudenberg. And if you'd like to verify that, Why, you can drop us a note or give us a call. We'll be glad to send you the abstract from the page of his website. If this is really true, why are they trying to get people to take a vaccine that does very little good and, of course, can do tremendous harm to pregnant women and six-month-old children? And since we have animal studies that show it's disastrous influence, well, if you'd like to get Dr. Aves a video, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know more about population control, you really need, of course, to get our population control special and or our video entitled Planned Population Reduction. You can get that either in video or VHS. That's Planned Population Reduction. The information is there. We need you to help us get it out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you need to get the DVD or the VHS that goes along with that. You need to get the Iraq, the Untold Story video and or syllabus. You really should get both of them together. And, of course, we have a very special offer on that. Of course, we have the certainly the coming tsunami, VHS, DVD, and syllabus. Sustainable development, the syllabus, the video, the four-tape set. All of this information is there so that you can get the information out and hopefully you'll copy the material we have and get it in the hands of others. We can only reach so many people. It's up to you to tell others. And don't be discouraged if they don't want to listen. Just ask them questions. Ask them about finances. Ask them about population control. Ask them about DDT. Mention 100 million people. Close to 100 million people have died because we banned DDT, and now the World Health Organization says that there's nothing wrong with it. Gee, wasn't that an awful mistake? Oh, shucks, and 100 million people died, but then they were mostly in third world countries, and we wouldn't want to worry about that, would we? Certainly, you need to understand what's going on. We are actually aligned against organized evil that has no compassion for human life or human suffering. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs directly or indirectly there at on the Internet. You can get our new shortwave. We do have a new shortwave frequency. They've changed that, and I hope our people are finding it, but it should be posted on the Internet. Find me on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. Until tomorrow, good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation, it is Monday, the 30th of October, 2006, and regular listeners know exactly why I asked this question, and I'm not going to ask it today. I'm not going to ask where it is. You all know it's there, and everybody's going to have to make their own decision on what they're going to do about it. Simple as that. It's the line in the sand. This is Dave Von Kleist.
And George Riley. And the question is, who's going to win the election? Who do they want to win the election? Because obviously it is already done. It's already set. It's already in stone. They know who they want. They've got it prepared, and we are going to have to consume it on Election Day. It's so sad. Unless the American people request and demand